Baptism has long been controversial in the religious world. Is it necessary? This morning we are going to consider some of the major concepts underlying baptism and let this inform us as to the importance of baptism itself. And so we begin with some subjects that we've been reading about together over the course of the last few weeks, the priesthood and the Day of Atonement from the book of Leviticus. In describing what God wanted for those involved in the Day of Atonement offerings, one of the actions required was for the priest to bathe his body in water. He shall put on the holy linen coat and shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on. The one who burns the bodies of the beast outside the camp was also told the same in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 26. This information in Leviticus 16 echoes what they were already told relative to Aaron and his sons working in the tabernacle. In Exodus chapter 30, verses 20 and 21, we read, "When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water, so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet, so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generation." And so as we consider the priesthood and the Day of Atonement and the tabernacle, there are two immediate connections that the Spirit would have us to see and to make. The emphasis on these actions is purity and holiness. Bathing the body in water was not just an act of physical cleanliness. It was symbolic of the holiness and purity through which they were to approach God. In other words, the action was both real and symbolic. It stood for something vital in their relationship with God. And if they didn't do it, then they would die. And so all of this teaching in Leviticus and in Exodus is foreshadowing the covenant, the new covenant, the priesthood of the new covenant. And so who is Jesus? He is the fulfillment of the shadow that was the Aaronic high priesthood. Jesus is our great high priest. And so the Hebrew writer would say to us in Hebrews chapter 8 and in verses 1 and 2 that the point in what we are saying is this: we have, present tense, such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. The book of Hebrews uses the foreshadowing of the priestly sacrifices to connect to what Jesus did for us. Christ appeared as the great high priest, offering up himself, shedding his own blood in order to cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, we read, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Christ's offering up of himself did what no animal sacrifice could do. He came to do the will of the Father so that, Hebrews 10, verse 10, "by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." This now gives us The person and the work of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, this now gives us confidence to enter the holy place by means of this new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Notice what the writer does in verses 21 and 22. Notice what the Spirit of God says to us through the Hebrew writer in verses 21 and 22 of Hebrews 10. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Notice, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies are washed with pure water, mirroring the instructions for the priest in Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement. And so as we consider all of this foreshadowing in the Old Testament concerning the priesthood, the high priesthood of Jesus, and the New Testament priesthood, notice the cleansing of the conscience and notice the washing with water. And as you notice those two things with me this morning, let us ask together, is there an action in the New Covenant that corresponds to these ideas? In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we read, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That is, that she might be holy and without blemish." Paul tells us through the Spirit that Christ gave Himself up for His church so that He might sanctify her, set her apart, that He might cleanse her by the washing of water with the Word. Washing in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27 is the same as bathing in Leviticus chapter 16. And it pulls from the same idea in the Old Testament. The Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, also writes that the Lord has saved us, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy the Lord has saved us, and He has saved us by His mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again, saying to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit in Titus 3 corresponds to the water and the Spirit of John 3, 5. Notice again the idea of washing connected to water. Through the washing or bathing, we are made new, we are born again, we are justified by His grace, and we are made heirs of eternal life. This washing in Leviticus 16 was no small thing. This washing with water in the New Covenant is no small thing. When you consider all these connections from the Old Testament to the New, from the bathing and the washing of the Old to the baptism of the New Covenant, keep in mind the concepts of purity and holiness in approaching God and offering sacrifices. In the New Testament, this washing with water has a figure that corresponds directly to it. It is called baptism. Baptism, in fact, fulfills several figures that are being communicated in the Old Covenant. And so we want to stress the connection of baptism to this bathing in water, a process which, again, emphasized purity and holiness in coming before the Lord. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, and in verse 16, after Saul of Tarsus came to faith in Jesus, Ananias was sent to him by the Lord. And he said to Saul of Tarsus, this one who now believed in the person and the work of Jesus, "Why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name," the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptism was seen as a washing away of sins. It is tied to purity before God because it is seen in conjunction with God washing away sin. The Spirit would speak through the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter references how Noah and his family were brought safely through the water. Then he wrote, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice here the connection of appealing to God for a good conscience and what the Hebrew writer penned in chapter 10, verses 21 and 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hearts are cleansed from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water in baptism. In baptism, we appeal to God for this clean conscience. The washing with water is a reference to baptism. And so as we read through God's instruction concerning the sacrificial system and the priesthood and the Day of Atonement, we come to understand from the totality of what God has revealed, but specifically from Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that what made this system work was the grace of God. "I have given you the blood is in the life." In Leviticus 16, there was a connection made between the washing of the body and the shedding of the blood for forgiveness. On the Day of Atonement, the bathing in water for the priest was tied to the offering and sprinkling of the blood. In the New Testament, baptism is tied to the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 6. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." In His death, in the shedding of His blood, in the pouring out of His life, true forgiveness was made possible. Baptism in no way, shape, or form supplants the blood of Jesus. It is not baptism versus the blood of Jesus. Baptism is seen as the washing with water in conjunction with the offering up of Jesus so that forgiveness is possible. While we are washed with water, we are also, as the song goes, washed in the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus gave instructions for the Lord's Supper, taking the cup, He said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, in the New King James Version translation of those words of Jesus, Jesus said, "For this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." In Acts the second chapter and in verse 38, Jesus' words in Matthew 26:28 for remission of sins corresponds exactly to what Peter said in response to the Jews who asked what they needed to do upon realizing that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus. Acts 2:38, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Matthew 26:28, this expression for the remission of sins, and in Acts 2 verse 38, for the remission of your sins, the terms are the same. The words are the same. The words Jesus used in Matthew 26:28 are the words that Peter was given by the Spirit to say in Acts 2:38. Baptism is a washing in water in order to cleanse our evil consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Baptism is into the death of Jesus where He shed His blood for our forgiveness. Peter does not contradict Jesus in Acts 2:38. He compliments Jesus by telling the people to act appropriately so that they will be forgiven. Essentially, Peter was telling them the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice was offered. The sacrifice was accepted. You took Jesus by lawless hands and you crucified Him. But God has raised Him up. The sacrifice of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, it was offered, it was accepted by God. Now you need to repent and you need to bathe your bodies in water so that you will be clean. Baptism then is symbolic because it represents something much more than just getting wet. But it is also real. Just as God expected the priest to bathe in water, an act that had both real and symbolic features, so He expects us actually to be baptized in water. It is an act. It is an action of humble trust on our part, not one of proud self-righteousness. It is not an act of earning, but one that recognizes and appeals to God's grace. It is an action that submits to the fact that Jesus Himself was sacrificed, and now we need to be cleansed from our sins so that we can approach God. And so as we continue to think about these connections, there's another interesting feature about baptism, and it's connection to the bathing in water for the priest of Leviticus chapter 16. In Leviticus chapter 16, the priest would bathe his body in water and put on the holy garments. And this would happen both before and after the sprinkling of the blood. The priest was to wash, then put on holy garments. There was a progression that the priest was to see and understand, and the people of God were to see and understand. And so as we consider what the New Testament has to say about this connection, the New Testament connection to that practice is this. In baptism, we are washed clean, and then we are clothed with Christ Himself, having put off the old garments of sin and filth. Galatians 3:26 and 27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3. And we are to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God is being created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And that comes after the sacrifice of Jesus. That comes after we have been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Now we are to be living sacrifices, Romans 12, 1 and 2, holy and acceptable before God through Jesus in the Spirit. Since in baptism we have been cleansed and have put on Christ, forgiveness and holiness in Christ are key. In Romans 13, verse 14, we read that we are to put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify the desires. And as we consider that verse, Romans 13, 14 begs the question, who has put on Jesus? And Galatians 3, verse 27 answers that question for us. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Think about the washing in Leviticus 16. Think about the cleansing in Leviticus 16. Think about the holy garments that the priest wore as they served before the true and living God. Think about the forgiveness that was offered by grace to God's people through the Old Covenant. And consider the connections that the Spirit of God makes between the shadows of the Old Testament and the substance of the New. Consider the washing that we are to participate in to be made holy, to be made pure, to receive the remission of sins so that we might indeed have a clean conscience. Consider how it is God's will in Christ Jesus that we would put on the Lord Jesus, that we would be clothed in Christ. Consider the gracious blessing of the new covenant that is a direct result of Jesus shedding His blood, of pouring out His life so that we might experience remission and forgiveness. As you think about all of those things and as you consider them with me this morning, I believe the conclusion of the whole matter is this. Baptism is not something to take lightly. This is one of the reasons why baptism finds itself in the seven ones of Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There are seven ones in Ephesians 4 that we are to know and understand and commit ourselves to if we are going to be in Christ and unified in the Spirit of God. Baptism is not something to take lightly. The concepts that underline the action are deep and meaningful. Asking the question, is baptism necessary, would be like the high priest on the Day of Atonement asking if it were necessary for him to bathe his body in water and put on the holy garments. Surely he would not think to himself on that day, what does this have to do with the sacrifice? What does this have to do with the blood? What does this have to do with the life that was given so that I might experience remission and forgiveness? Surely he would not think to himself, I don't need to do that. Why would we ask those questions? Why would we think that way? It is God Himself who makes the connections and gives the commands. And let's humble ourselves before Him and see the connections that He has made. And let's rejoice that by His grace, cleansing is available, forgiveness is available, fellowship is possible, Christ has been sacrificed, God has accepted His sacrifice. We can be saved by grace through faith to the glory of God. Amen. Accepting the Lordship of Jesus, being filled with the Spirit of God, we can be a holy nation, a kingdom of priests to the glory of God in our day. Amen. As we await the return of the Lord Jesus. Let us all partake of the washing in water, appealing to God for a clean conscience and putting on Christ to live holy and consecrated lives. for Him. And so this morning, I would encourage you, as you consider this lesson in your heart, to ask the question, what would keep you from doing this? If you have not participated in baptism into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you would like to talk more about that, we stand ready and able and willing to help you to see these connections in your heart, these connections that God Himself has made. And so after the service today, if we can help you in any way, give us the opportunity to help you to see God's will for your life. At this point in our service, we're going to turn our attention to the partaking of the Lord's Supper, which is something that God enables us to do if and only if we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. This meal that we participate in, this spiritual feast that we participate in upon the first day of the week, it is for God's people. It is for those who have understood who Jesus is and what He did and why He did it. And because of their understanding of who He is and what He did, they have responded to Him. And in their response to Him, they have been born again of the water and the Spirit, and they have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And we participate in this together as holy, pure children of God until Jesus comes. Amen. And so let's stand together and encourage one another to consider these great lessons in light of this song, Are You Washed in the Blood? And then we will turn our attention to the partaking of the Lord's Supper.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?